Welcome to Whispers, everybody, on AM 1600 WKKX, the Valley's Watchdog. It is 6:08 p.m. here in downtown Wheeling. Also want to shout out a hello to all of our new listeners on UPRN. And give us a call, 304-214-1600. If you're out of the area, give us a call toll-free, 866-514-1600. Let's use that toll-free line today and get some of our out-of-state callers to let us know where they're coming from. I'm Jordan Klein here with Nick Queen.
Hello.
And Lola Miller.
And I'm Lola. And I'm freezing. It was beautiful this morning, and I am so cold now.
What is the temperature today? Like shivering.
Right now.
66.
Yeah. It was like in the 80s yesterday, wasn't it?
Oh,
it was so hot.
My car said 98 on Sunday. I mean, I don't believe it was that hot, but it was beautiful, absolutely beautiful all weekend. And today it's dreary. It's just like a Monday, except it's a Tuesday, and I'm going to be all screwed up all week now.
My body doesn't function in that heat.
See, I don't function in this cold. Numb.
I had my air conditioner and like ceiling fans on all winter. I like it cold.
I guess.
I need to move up north or something. I think that's my next trek
to Alaska.
Yeah.
Oh, no, not that.
He wants to go north and I want to go south. I keep looking at all the Texas temperatures. 94, 96, 101. Yes.
Then Texas.
You'd complain about the heat.
I would not.
In Oklahoma.
And that's a dry
heat.
Oh
my God! It's hot. I don't know about Texas. I saw in the news just a couple weeks ago where the governor was saying that if the U.S. didn't control all their spending or check with their taxpayers, they were thinking about secession
again,
seceding from the nation. Yeah,
Texas.
Always the same way.
They always are threatening that. They're always threatening me.
Like, okay, we're leaving. That's it.
Yeah.
I'm gonna stop my foot.
Okay. See, I would have been able to tell, you know, if we were getting phone calls or anything, but Lola distrusts me so much that right before we went on the air, she came over here, unhooked my phone, and completely took it away. Took it back to
her. That's right, Jordan. Children shouldn't play with big people toys.
I said, what's going on? She's like, uh-uh.
I salute your decision.
Well, how many people have I hung up on accidentally?
We don't know.
Oh, geez,
they're
Louise.
They're gone now.
I want to remind everybody that at second hour, we are going to be talking about our Penn trip that we had this weekend.
Yes.
Oh, fun times for everybody. It
I
was
may
great.
Not be a sensitive, but my camera was. I got a lot of good.
Yes, yeah, so you did not run into anything out of the ordinary. I mean, other than John and
no,
nobody came out and grabbed her.
I missed the good part because I went home, and then you got.
You all look tired.
Oh, we were.
It is an exhausting.
These morning show folks can't hang it with the late guys.
Well, Lola's not morning show. Lola's show.
Okay, she's
here all day.
She's just WKK.
Yeah.
If anybody out there did go to the Penn and saw some crazy stuff in their pictures, you still got time. We got an hour left. You can send it to whispers1600@gmail.com or on our forum at www.whispersradio.com. Post them up there. We'll check them out. And
Kelly has all
we'll
hers up on Facebook.
Does she?
And she got some weird ones, too, you know. And a lot of hers, we took the same picture, you know, we were in this, because we were together. Hers is completely black, and then I've got orbs in mine. And now, don't you think some of those are real, that I have in my pictures?
I thought there were some neat-looking things. I don't know what they are, but there's some. But we got to wait for the second hour for this.
Oh. I'm just like,
I know.
We've got a great guest. So
make him listen to our banter about the Penn trip.
Well, why should he be any special? Everybody else on hold has to listen. So.
Okay, our guest tonight, Mr. Stephen King. No, he's not the author. Don't ask him any questions about Carrie or the Tommyknockers. He can't. Well, I mean, he could make up an answer for you, but it's not going to happen. We are going to be talking about electromagnetic fields.
Oh, good.
What are their dangers? What's their use during paranormal investigations? Steven, you with us?
Yes, I'm here.
So when you were writing Carrie,
no. How did you know? He's got a memory the size of a gnat's. I'm sorry.
How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing pretty good. How are you guys doing today?
Good. Now, we met Steven on Pow Talk, which is part of the UPRN system, which is kind of neat that he's our first guest from the network.
Yeah, I go on every once in a while, discuss things with people concerning EMF and anything else they're talking about that evening.
Well, I've got a couple questions, if you don't mind, and this kind of goes back to the pen trip, but EMF is electrical magnetic fields, right?
Correct.
Can they also be picked up on audio recorders?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Now, sorry, but this will come in play later.
What you're talking about is sound itself as being electromagnetic field, and obviously it's being picked up when you're using a recorder.
Okay. All right. Okay. Okay.
All right, so tell us, what is electromagnetic field?
Okay, electromagnetic fields or radiation is just another name for a group of just energies that we know in the universe, ranging from visible light to X-ray radiation, the gamma radiation, all the way down to lower frequencies that we now use for radio, cell phone usage, things like that. A lot of the research that I got into started a lot of questions started to arise when I started my research, because the doctors and medical fields and scientists of the world were all saying that they've classified what are considered the safe electromagnetic fields and the unsafe. The safe ones are the ionizing, or non-ionizing is what they're saying, and the unsafe are the ionizing, the ones that can create damage to your DNA.
Now, what's the difference? How can you tell which is which?
Well, from X-rays and up are considered, there's a range from X-rays all the way to gamma ray that includes, if you went to get an X-ray machine, or if you were out in space next to a star and it had gamma radiation in it, anything along those lines would be those very, very well-known, easily predicted, you're going to have a health issue if you're around those types of EMF fields. And the ones that they considered safe, like visible light and cell phones and radios, stuff like that, they're now finding that there's problems with those too, but it just takes longer time for the body to be affected by them.
So what exactly gives out an EMF field? I mean, do humans give out some type of a field?
Technically we do. We are considered to be able to create light. Everything in the universe is pretty much emitting some form of light. Like if you use an infrared machine to verify you were putting up any heat signatures, that's a part of the EMF spectrum. That's a part of the electromagnetic field spectrum that they have, and that's right above visible light is infrared. It's just we can't see it with the naked eye, so we've created techniques now and cameras to be able to view it.
So, like, when we went out this weekend, we had I know we carry three different types of EMF detectors with us, and of course we're using them to look for ghosts, spirits, or to, you know, find out what might be giving off a false negative.
Correct.
You know, because these fields can create problems that can kind of mask what, you know, somebody thinks there's a ghost and there's something else. You know, it's a high EMF. What exactly would be a, I'm trying to think of what our meters go up to or what they detect. I mean, we're looking at one.
Yeah, how do you tell which one is like a ghost, which one's a power current? What's the field we should be looking into? Because there's the Dr. Gauss, then there's the K2 meters. How do you differentiate between all of them? Which one works, which one doesn't, and how do they pertain to what we're doing here?
Well, for the most part, your Gauss meters are going to be measuring in milligauss levels, and for the safety levels that doctors are looking at to find if there's problems health-wise, they're looking in the range in between 1 and 2. Anything above 2 milligauss is considered to be unsafe over time to the body. When you're looking for ghosts and things like that, and you're in a home or a business or any place that you guys would be at, if you're outside, you don't have this problem as much, but if you're inside a place where they have electrical wiring, you want to turn off the power to the whole place to take readings inside the building to make sure that the power is completely turned off and you're not getting any false readings. That would be my suggestion for your first, measurements of the night, to make sure everything has a baseline reading of pretty much zero. with no power on in the building. And then as you go through the building again and you're making your sweeps, you can verify if there is a spike somewhere that you know that the power's turned off, so it has to be something else besides the power in the building.
Gotcha.
Now, what if it's a situation like we were in a big prison, we really didn't have access to shut the main power lines off? How do we then differentiate?
Well, you have to find if there is a field present wherever you're at and you notice it, you'll need to narrow it down to, is it something coming from which direction? So you can point your meter in different directions, towards the ceiling or towards certain walls. And if you find out that those walls have electrical wiring behind them, you can tell pretty easily as you move closer and move away from it that the gauss meter will change the amount of frequencies as you move in and out from it. So that's one way to verify if there's wiring behind the wall or not. And a lot of older places that you might be doing ghost hunting, it probably does have bad wiring in it and would cause a problem.
We got a question real quick.
On my audio, I used a digital audio recorder. And the first three clips that I recorded, you know, all over the place, one was outside, a couple were inside, but they were in cell blocks and things. You know, there was no background noise to it at all, except, you know, what you would normally hear. Then I was down in what they call the Sugar Shack, which is supposed to be have a lot of activity down there. And when I played that one back, there is this real humming, almost like a generator sound in the background. And at the same time, I found out later, a couple people that were with us smelled something like burning electrical. And yet, you know, no one else smelled it, just a couple people did. So could that audio have picked up that EMF reading thing? I'm not expressing myself really well on this.
The
humming
noise itself is what you're saying?
Yeah. It just sounds really strange. There's a lot of background noise when I didn't have it anywhere else in the building.
And it can cause interference with every electrical device that you're going to be using to do testing with. So if you were near a large field for some reason in that particular part of the place where you were testing, it could have caused a problem just with the reader itself and caused that background noise to show up on the sound.
Okay, because obviously we didn't hear it ourselves, and then I just thought it was strange that this smell of burning wires, that people could smell that too. And I don't know where it was in relation to where old Sparky had been in there. But, you know, I found it odd that out of all the little clips that I did, that's the only one that had that noise. And I don't know. Anyway.
That almost sounds like some bad wiring itself or a large device somewhere in the area that's generating that field, because if you can smell it, that's usually a good sign that there's something wrong with the either wiring in the building or some major device that you're near that is pitting off a large amount of frequencies that some people are sensitive to and will smell it, and some people are not, and they'll never know that anything's going on at all. But
darn it.
Well, you could be a sensitive, Lola, and you just don't know it.
Yeah, right.
What is the Brit said last week? You're about as sensitive as a brick?
Yeah. yeah. Like I said, my camera is. I'm not. I was so disappointed, but that's just my own personal heartbreak on this whole thing.
Now, I know we've investigated places where one of the first things we try to find, because, you know, I have read, you know, going to your site and other sites, talking about how, you know, a high EMF can cause all sorts of bad things, paranoia, hallucinations and such. And one of the houses we had investigated, where they slept was like right near one of those power boxes. I mean, their head would be actually pointing towards the power box on the outside of the house, and we were getting, I think, on the microgauss, is that the correct, I don't know what the term is for.
Is it microgauss or milligauss?
Milligauss.
Steve.
What's the measurement term?
Steve, are
the
you with us?
The measurement term would be milligauss. Is milligauss. Most of them are measuring it.
We were getting like 10, maybe 20. How high did that go? 30, 40? And it was high. I mean, it was peaking all the way over. And, you know, this person said they were having all kinds of different troubles. They felt uncomfortable in the house, you know, since they were a kid. They were returning to the house, and as soon as they returned, they started getting kind of the same stuff again, sick to their stomach. I mean, is this something typical of a high EMF in the area?
Yes, and what it does is there are many different effects that you can see like immediately from being around a situation like that, like being near one of those power boxes. Like you said, paranoia, fear, dizziness, confusion, depression, depression, anxiety, fatigue, headaches. Those are just some of the like immediate like health effects that you can notice just by being near them for a few minutes.
What are long-term effects?
Long-term effects are what they're seeing is leukemia, Alzheimer's, brain tumors, acoustic neuromas, salivary gland cancers, cataracts, bone marrow damage. You name it. Chemical sensitivities is a big one that I've noticed. A lot of people who weren't sensitive before to electromagnetic fields, and now they are. For some reason, their immune system has broken down so much that they're very sensitive to any gases in the air or like anything like hairspray or anything like that would be around them. They start to have breathing problems and they're like allergic to a lot of things that they never were before. It can really cause a lot of problems in many different ways, and it affects people differently
so much
that it's hard to narrow down.
Like living under or really close to those huge power
lines.
Structures, yeah.
Correct. Yeah. Those large power lines have been directly linked to leukemia in children. A large percentage of leukemia cases have been attributed to people who were living underneath those. A lot of people also have been noticing around, I think it was 50 Gaz. It was the last house I looked at that had a lady who was chemically sensitive. It took her, she lived there for about a year, and then all of a sudden started having all kinds of major health problems and was unaware really what it was. But when you went in her backyard, there were 3 major power lines from a power company coming right through her backyard, and the Gaz meters were going through the roof, and I had to explain to her what the problems were and things like that. So she finally moved, and she had to tell the people she was selling the house to and things like that too, that there is a possible problem here and that the house probably isn't as safe as it should be, but it's hard to sell a house.
Now, some people are more sensitive to this than others, correct?
Correct, and the sensitivity can become more so over and over time as you're becoming more and more damaged and your body's unable to fight it off. The World Health Organization itself has declared already that a small percentage of the people on planet Earth, and they've recognized them as being sensitive from birth pretty much, and they're just going to have naturally problems throughout the rest of their life with this, and that some people are going to attribute these problems later on as they go through life living near these large fields.
But what about cell phones?
And cell phones themselves are directly linked to brain tumors and salivary gland cancers and acoustic neuromas. Those are the 3 major things you're looking at from long-term cell phone use. And the long-term usage is what they're saying is about 10 years. Just regular usage, being on your phone 2 to 3 hours a day as a business person, that's pretty normal. And for 10 years, your chances of getting a brain tumor are about 50% or more.
Oh, what?
Wow. I'm looking on your website. You have brain scans here. This is one of the things I was looking at the other day. This is your brain on cell phones, which I like. and it shows.
Is it mush?
Yeah. It shows from left to right, and I'm guessing these are the amounts of radiation that are entering your head. The farthest on the left is an adult. This is emfscience.com if you're anywhere near a computer and want to look. Which doesn't show that much penetration. I mean, any is too much. But on the far left is this 3-year-old, which there's a lot of people that let their kids, you know, use the cell phone. It's almost over half. And is the white the largest extent, or can you explain that a little bit?
Those are just the strengths of the field and how far they've penetrated into the brain. And what you're seeing is, as the adult, you can tell has hardly any major penetration from the cell phone next to his head versus the 3-year-old. You can see the major difference. It's because as you're growing, your skull gets thicker. And as anybody that researches EMF knows, that a very dense materials help shield EMFs from wherever they're at. And the denser your skull is, the more protection that it gives you. So an adult's a lot safer to use a cell phone than a child.
Wow. I mean,
this is just scary because I'm thinking, you know, I've been using a cell phone since like middle school, you know, and so it's like, is my brain like fried? Maybe that's what's wrong with me, Lo.
Yeah, now you do have an excuse.
I don't have to blame it on the rabies anymore.
That's right. Yeah. You milk that one for all it was worth.
Yeah, they're also finding problems just with the cell phone being on in your pocket.
I've noticed my leg will start to like rumble a little bit. It feels like my
that's your vibrator, honey.
That's you're getting a call.
But it will. I won't get a
that's
call or
not,
anything. It still feels like there's something going on in my body.
Where you need to worry.
Correct. And they're noticing all the way down to your bone marrow and your leg next to where your cell phone's being carried that it's damaging the ability for it to produce blood cells and also causing penetration into your genitalia area, causing problems there, testicular cancers.
Could it cause problems with having low fertility maybe?
There's a study out of Cleveland, Ohio, from a doctor who definitely has proven that fertility is an issue.
Wow. Now, why have we not, I mean, I remember a while ago, and I'm talking, you know, several years, there was the scare about cell phones and brain cancer and that kind of stuff. And then all that talk kind of went away. And we really haven't heard, except for those infomercials where you can buy that little thing that you can put inside your phone and it's supposed to do something with the electromagnetic waves that come out of it. But, you know, we haven't heard any of this stuff.
Right. Well, it's been going on for approximately, I would say, like 50 years. Russian scientists back in the 1940s to all the way up to now have actually been doing this research and letting people know about it. Even American scientists at the same time were doing it. But over time, it got to the point where the medical FDA, FCC, people who are responsible organizations that are supposed to let us know the safe levels of all these devices that we're using have agreed on certain measurements that they consider safe and some that they consider are not safe. And what they're looking at now is a major study that's been done internationally called the Interphone Study. It's probably one of the biggest reasons that there hasn't been a lot of talk about it in a long time, because they started it in 2003. We're supposed to have it, and they completed it in 2006, but they won't report the findings because they claim that they are having problems agreeing on what the facts are saying. And so for another 3 years now, we've been sitting around waiting for this major report from doctors all over the world explaining the exact problems that they've seen in their research, peer-reviewed research that has been paid for by all the countries of the major UN countries that are involved. And right now, everybody's still just sitting around waiting for the major results to be presented to the public, because at that time, I believe there's going to be a major learning curve, educational rise about this problem, and people will learn more about it. But since it's been on hold, nobody's really talked about it because they're just waiting for it to get done.
Well, think about the lobby that is involved with this. You've got the telecommunications lobby.
There is a lobby.
And do you honestly think that they're going to stonewall this as long as they possibly can?
Oh, yeah, definitely. The doctors involved in this have already related this to the major tobacco industry health problems that were seen, and then it took 20 to 40 years for anything to really come of it as people learned that, you know, it causes cancer, and somebody finally later down the road got all the info from the tobacco company. And
well, now we know what we're in for then. They'll start taxing them.
It's a long battle that's been going on already, and there is people from corporations, specifically Motorola, who actually are in Washington, D.C., working as lobbyists to prevent and monitor information that comes in and out about cell phones and whether or not they're safe.
I want to ask real quick before we get too far away, what is acoustic neuroma? I'm not too big on the big words, so.
It's inside your ear, and it's in your ear canal, and it'll just be caused like damage to your hearing, and it possibly can cause a cancer-like tumor in your ear.
Well, somebody just called and wanted to know about Bluetooth.
Okay, Bluetooth is a little bit safer than actually putting a cell phone directly to your head. Oh. It minimizes the signal quite a bit that's needed to just to send a signal from your cell phone. But your cell phone's usually in your pocket or something else. As you'll notice, most people are still having it on their body. But a lower signal is used, and a safer signal if you're going to use Bluetooth or your cell phone. I would say use your Bluetooth instead, but to keep the cell phone away from you.
Okay.
I better get one.
Now, I'm looking here. There's a court victory, a link off your website, about a court victory for a cell phone programmer. Correct. Can you tell me a little bit about that? That sounds kind of interesting.
Yeah, Sharitha Price was in Florida working as a cell phone programmer for a company, and she was found to have a brain tumor. And the interesting, one of the most interesting parts to me is the doctor that was involved with her legal case was Dr. Nachman Brotbar of UCLA. He was involved with the same legal case that Erin Brockovich won in her movie that Julia Roberts played in about the PG&E water company that had hexavalent chromium in the public water system, and it caused a bunch of tumors and problems for people in that area. This same doctor was involved in this first legal case that won a cell phone battle. That it's the only battle I know of in the world after doing years and years of research now that I've seen that anybody's been able to win in court and have a doctor stand up and say, this caused a brain tumor, and they won. So it was just a major victory in that. But nobody since then has won anything, and there has been more trials, and I don't know why they haven't. But
I was going to say, what exactly are they using? What defense are they using to stop these lawsuits?
Well, because they probably can't say there's any direct correlation between a brain tumor and cell phone use.
Yeah, for the most part, they're trying to say, I guess, in court, to defend the companies themselves, that, you know, where's your proof? And this doctor apparently had the proof and won the case in Florida, but I guess his case information has not been spread across the United States or anywhere else for any other battles. I personally tried to contact him and get the info, and he apparently doesn't want to give up the information for some reason, so.
Sure. Now, I know I'm sitting in front of a computer right now. Jordan sitting in front of two computers.
I feel like a mad scientist.
Yeah. Lola's sitting by, I mean, all kinds of equipment.
She's screwed. How much,
yeah. Lola's in front of like two computers, maybe three is your other computer.
There's a big deck down here. Yeah. There's two decks here, a computer there, a computer there, board in front of me. See?
How much danger are we in from just these kind of devices?
Overall, it's not a safe environment. If you get your gauze meter out and just set it near your monitor, you can see from about 3 feet distance or less, depending on if it's the older or new monitor also. You can see that the magnetic field changes as you get closer and away from it. And what you're looking at is to try to keep the measurements, all the newest doctors, all the newest research, everything says, for adults in general, 2 milligauss is what you're looking at for safety levels that you want to live in, work in, sleep in, etc. For children and pregnant women, they suggest 1 milligauss, and you're really narrowing down what those people can be around if you're saying that, but it's the truth of the matter is those are the levels where they're seeing problems.
Yeah, Lola's slicing her own neck at this point.
She thinks she's dead. Here's a question we're getting a lot here on the chat room. What can people do? I mean, is it too late? Some are saying maybe dress up in a lead suit and live in a cave somewhere to get away from it. What are we supposed to do?
Yeah, really, I mean, it really has gotten to a point where it's overrun everything in our lives. There's cell towers within visible distance from most people's homes now, or major power lines and schools and backyards. And I'm going to be adding a new link to my front page of my website that'll help people find cell towers in their community. So if there's one near their school that their child goes to, or if there's one near an area where they're thinking of moving, they can determine and make the decision themselves. I don't want to live near one of them. Power lines themselves will just have to be something visibly that they see when they get there. If you can see a major power line near your house, you don't want to be living there. The levels will be too high just from the distance of being able to see it will be bad enough. The other thing you can really do, though, the safe practices for using your cell phone is always use your speakerphone if you can. If you can't use your speakerphone, try your Bluetooth. And that little chip that you've heard about from the commercials that you were talking about, Lola,
yeah.
It's a little device you can add on the back of your phone. It's not considered safe by all the doctors. They are promoting it as a safe way to block all the EMF, but none of the doctors are promoting it as one of the things that they suggest to do to prevent from the fields of cell phones. But one of the other things they are suggesting is an air tube earpiece. It's even safer than the Bluetooth itself. It connects to your phone like a normal earphone or headset, but the wiring system that would normally go directly into your ear to the speaker is stopped about halfway, and an air tube shoots the signal up into your ear instead, and it prevents all the electrical signals from going directly to your head, which normal headphones or Bluetooth would do. Now, those are just some safer cell phone practices. Otherwise, there's a plethora of other ideas about where you live and things like that you can do that make things safer.
That word plethora came up again. Yeah. We've been using it all day at work for some reason. I don't know. But
you caught the word of the day.
Yeah.
Hey, Stephen, we got to take a break real quick. Stay on the line. We're talking to Stephen King with about EMF, how it pertains to ghost hunting, and what it actually is. Right back on AM 1600, WKKX, and UPRN. Welcome back, everybody, to Whispers on AM 1600 WKKX, the Valley's Watchdog, and the UFO Paranormal Radio Network. I'm Jordan Klein, here with Nick Queen, the lovely Lola Miller, and our guest tonight is Stephen King, not the author, but the EMF scientist. Can I call you a scientist?
Yeah, feel free.
I like that, scientist. Okay, we're talking about EMF, and what is it? Okay, we talked about how it can blister your brain out of your ears and do all kinds of bad stuff to your mommy daddy area.
Mm-hmm.
What how does it all? Nick's just put his hand over his head and put it down in shame. How does it affect your paranormal investigations? Like, what is it that we need to be looking for? Because you told me. On the chat room that, you know, it kind of directly goes with, you know, the paranormal investigation process. Can you go through that with us?
Yeah, well, one of the things that you're going to be finding is while you're walking around and with your EMF meters and you're noticing a presence all of a sudden on your meter jumping to 2 to 5 milligauss, approximately somewhere along those ranges, it immediately could be having fear and paranoia at that time already or some type of anxiety. And you could start feeling all these immediate effects from those fields that could be something that is bad wiring in the home or something. So just be aware while you're taking those readings that, hey, I might all of a sudden be affected mentally and not be fully aware that it's something that's naturally happening and not something like a ghost or something that in the area. That would be one way to start the process off and understand, you know, go through the understanding of what's going on right now.
Well, that sounds good to me because I think so many people walk into it with the idea that everything they're seeing and hearing and feeling has to be some paranormal activity. And yeah. I like the idea of going into it that we're going to rule out everything that could possibly be caused by man, which only leaves then the possibility that it's paranormal.
Or even worse, that your EMF meter is a ghost meter and it's like, oh, I'm detecting all kinds of ghosts over here and...
Or, like, it's hearing stuff and it's talking like this and bothering everybody.
Oh, she's talking about the obelisk.
Yes.
Have you ever heard of the obelisk, Stephen?
No, I don't.
I'll look it up and I'll send you the link.
It's supposed to take the EMF field and convert it into...
Language. And the thing is preloaded with words, like every ghosties... frequency is going to be exactly the same for each and every word, and unfortunately we had some people there this past weekend that decided to try it out, and you could hear it all through the whole prison, and you know, I'm not convinced that she was talking to dead people.
Well, it's got like a dictionary file on it and then a phonetics file, and you hear some good things and you hear some bad things. My guess is you're going to be hearing whatever you want to hear.
Yeah.
You know, you're going to make it up. But I think what they're trying to do is they're saying that the spirits are manipulating the field and that they're going in and trying to hit just the right
frequency
to say certain things. And I don't know. I mean, does that make any sense at all? Or
yeah, I mean, that's something that could be possible. I mean, it's not out of question completely. It would just have to be one very unique and technical piece of equipment, I would think, to be able to do that, and the ghost would have to know how to manipulate it.
Yeah, that's another thing, you know. These were all people that have been locked up for horrendous and heinous crimes over the years. I hardly think that they're going to be, technologically advanced as spirits to be able to do this.
they might be in some way generating fields in different frequencies anyway, different ranges of frequencies constantly as they're moving around or however they travel. And that could be something that it's picking up on, is just whenever it hits the right frequency that it's supposed to be looking for. Well, one might walk by or something and it set it off, and some words might come out of it. I think that's kind of how you guys are saying it's working, but
we're still
trying to figure it out.
Yeah.
Here's something else. The K2 meter, right? That's a EMF meter as well, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's one that TAPS uses frequently on ghost hunters, and they use it almost like, I don't want to say seance-esque, but it's, if wave your hand in front of it and make it bleep twice if you're here, that kind of thing. And it works. Like, how is that different from a regular EMF meter? What causes that to work in that manner and not other meters itself?
Well, all I can think of, I'm looking at it right now, and it just looks like it's in the range of 1 to, 20 milligauss. I mean, it's no different than any other gauss meter, it looks like.
I think it's just the way it's designed with the way the lights go in the front.
Just having a meter that gives you numbers, it's got a bunch of lights on it so that you don't have to visibly see what the levels are. It'll just let you know when a field is present versus what level the readings specifically are, so you can write them down or anything like that. It's just giving you a easy range to see if something immediately shows up.
Now, I have a question from one of the chat rooms. Are you familiar with the term ley lines?
Ley lines?
Yeah,
I am.
And they're wondering, do EMFs have anything to do with ley lines? The way I'm taking the question is, Do these ley lines that are supposedly, around the Earth, do they give off a sort of EMF signature or more powerful?
They do, and there are many fields reported throughout the world in different places. It's not something I've completely done a lot of in-depth research on, but I've come across it a lot, and it's really interesting. I just don't see a lot of real work by scientists specifically related to what I was doing that got me into it. But there's definitely a field that the Earth itself generates, a frequency that's known as called a Schumann's resonance. And it even fluctuates itself, and it's known at 7.83 megahertz. And as you go throughout the world, you're going to see these, which can be considered called ley lines if you want to, that are just different places, mountainous areas, and versus plains areas, they're just going to have different magnetic fields because there's more metal present in the area. And things like that are going to affect people differently even in those environments. So there's a lot to it, but I don't know how much scientific work has been done to really lay it all out and explain it to everybody.
The thing I'm thinking of, because one of the ley line research talks about, how different monuments were built along the ley lines. That perhaps, we were more sensitive to these things when we were, didn't have computers and cell phones and all this stuff to distract us from what's actually naturally occurring in the world, and that perhaps we were drawn to those areas.
There's a possibility that we've almost dumbed down ourselves with all our technology, that we're not picking up on those fields anymore because we're bombarded by our own man-made frequencies now versus natural ones that we would be the only ones that we'd normally be receiving. But now we have many more that from satellites, cell towers, power lines, electrical wiring, you name it.
Yeah. I'm looking here for one of these. You said air tube earpiece?
Yes.
Now, so exactly how does that work? I mean, how does that work exactly? Is it kind of like just an earpiece to get the phone away from your head as far as possible?
Yeah.
It
pretty much just looks like a normal headset. I mean, it's got two little nubs that go into your ear like speaker phones or little speakers, but they're not speakers. The sound's just echoed up an air tube halfway up the line to allow the electrical signal and all that to not penetrate directly into your ear.
And I'm taking that the speaker then would also have some EMF coming off of it, like headphones?
Yeah.
Like the ones we're wearing right now?
You're still going to have, normal headphones are going to have a signal of electricity going directly to the speaker in your ear, and it's not a very large amount, but it's people who are sensitive definitely can notice it. And it seems like a lot of people also. Go ahead.
I'm going to scare myself even more. Through a typical day, we get in our car. How much EMF are we getting in our car?
Well, there's also a problem seen while in your car when using your phone. Your phone tries to work harder while it's in your car because you're in a mostly metal object.
Oh, that's good, because that's where I usually use mine.
Yeah,
that's where most people use
it. For the signal to get in and out of the car because it's a lot of metal around it, and the phone tries to put out more and more output of signal power and frequency to get the signal out and be clear still. So it's one of the areas where people probably aren't aware, but it's even worse for you to use your cell phone in your car while you're driving.
How about microwaves?
Microwaves.
Well, that's different, isn't it?
No, it's part of the EMF spectrum, actually. The cell phone itself actually gives off microwave energy. And it's just as similar as you would have a microwave oven cooking your food. You're talking about the same type of signals. One of them has a lot more power behind the other one than the other, but...
So it could be cooking your brain.
So it's slowly, yeah. It's just slowly, you can think of it using a cell phone as slowly cooking your brain over time.
All right, now I'm thinking we go into a house and we're checking it out. Excuse me. And like Nick said before, we did one home where the bed was right next to the power box and we had some heavy EMF right there by the pillows. Mm-hmm. What could we do? Well, first, okay, this is a two-parter. First, how can we, the regular person, go out and check what's going on with their home if they're feeling this way? And two, what can you do about it? Because not everybody can just up and sell their home or
right.
anything like that.
That'd be the easiest way is just, I don't feel good here, I'm going to leave. But to be able to check your home, the normal average person could, and they'd have to educate themselves on home safety problems that are going on now, which is like the big green movements are air, water, and testing your home and getting cleaner air and water in your home. Well, one of them also is EMF testing to make sure the radiation levels. I'm currently starting up some work to get testing done in people's homes and businesses so people can call me if they're in my local area and I can go and test their home or business and let them know where the safe and unsafe areas are, and then from there explain to them what we can do to fix those problems. Like the situation you were talking about, the area near a power box where people were obviously having problems and your meters were showing the field present there. There's actually a large piece of metal that you can get. You can buy specifically from a link that I have on my website that has all the stuff we've talked about so far. It's an EMF safety superstore. They have meters and shielding there. And you can buy all this material and all these safety devices to protect yourself. And one of them for that situation would be a large metal, pretty much just like a sheet that you would put over the wall to cover that major part of that power box. And then take your readings afterwards to verify if the signals are still coming direct to the person in the room or is it finally being blocked. It's probably not a very cheap way either. It depends on what kind of metal you use and what kind of shielding. You could just get a large piece of metal from somewhere else also, or you can get these specifically designed ones.
Now, will some metals like intensify it, like aluminum foil or anything? So like if I'm out there with my aluminum foil hat on, is my brain going to intensify in baking, or
no?
Will it be safer?
It's supposed to be, because it's a dense material, than not having it there at all, it's supposed to be helping prevent any signals from getting in.
All right, can you give us your website one more time?
EMFScience.com.
EMFScience.com. We're going to go ahead and link that up to our website, and that way, already done?
Already done.
Nikki's already done it.
And I linked up to your book, EMF off Lulu, is that correct?
That's correct.
Very, very reasonably priced book, and if you're scared half to death like I am right now.
Nick's probably already bought it.
It's on its way.
All right, Steve, that's all the time we have for you today.
Okay,
we want to thank you very much for being a part of our show today. Name's Stephen King, his book, what was
EMF.
It? EMF. His
thank
site,
you guys for having me.
EMFScience.com.
Oh, it's been a pleasure. We'll have to have you back on.
We will have you back on. Thanks a lot, Steve.
Definitely contact me again. Thanks a lot.
Bye.
Jordan, you're going to have to get rid of your cell phone.
I know.
You use your cell phone so much. I mean, seriously, he's one of these idiots that go down the road driving and texting.
What? You and my dad think that's all I do, and I only do it when you're in the car because I don't care the safety of your life.
He has text coming.
Nice.
He has text coming 24 hours a day. I was arguing with him, like, what do you have, like, text coming overnight? He's like, yes.
Well, at least texting, he doesn't have it up by his brain.
Oh, he has it by his brain, too, back and forth. He'll call somebody, I'm sending you a text. Then he'll text them. Did you get my text? He's crazy with it. He's addicted.
Anyway, I like the fact that this is now being able to be tested more efficiently, and there's things to prove it in homes. Because a lot of people don't know, when you're doing an investigation, like a paranormal investigation, a lot of what's happening is indeed EMF. You know, you got, I'm paranoid in the back room. You know, it's never anywhere else in the house, but when I go to that back room, I always have this really creepy feeling, this really eerie feeling. It feels like there's so much pressure on me. I start to hallucinate in that room. All that kind of thing. And, you know, 9 times out of 10, you walk in there, or 9.99999 times out of 10, you walk in there, and it's the high EMF. And, you know, there's simple things you can do now to, I guess,
block it out.
To muffle it a little.
You were talking about the tin, and you were going for the tinfoil hat. We know what you were going for. And you said, he has a shielded cap on his website.
Well, I've heard that all the time, that if, you know, you don't want the aliens to get in your brain, you wear a tinfoil hat.
I try to, they still get in. But, but this
I wonder if this is any relation to Hulu.
Yeah. But I'm looking at it. Kulu. Yeah, I remember that. That was funny. But this is like a baseball cap that you can put on. It comes in, it says it's tan color, so it's only, you know, one color, but one size fits all. And it's built to shield this out. There's all kinds of stuff. I'm going through his website now. That it's cool. He even has a bumper sticker, Jordan. Hang up and drive.
I don't care what the reason is. People should... You can always tell, you know, if somebody's on a cell phone, because they go fast and slow, fast and slow. Then it's over Jordan. This way and drift this way and drift back.
Believe it or not, I can multitask at times. Anyway,
you gotta go.
Time for the news. We'll be right back. AM 1600 WKKX and UPRN.
All across this old... The Valley's Watchdog, AM 1600, WKKX Wheeling. Live from the Sims Tower West in the Jim Robinson Toyota Studios, we are AM 1600, WKKX, the studio that Kellis built.
Well, boys and girls, it's time once again for the second hour of Whispers Radio.
Oh
my God,
you're starting to sound so cheesy.
I got
just
my chocolate
like
milk
jockey.
Half cracked open, or half drank, because I can't do a show without my chocolate milk.
He will go to ridiculous lengths to get his chocolate milk before you. If we don't have it, he's like, we're screwed. The show's going
to
be a failure.
I used to do that, like, but it was not chocolate milk.
was it strawberry milk?
Was that an adult beverage of some type?
Adults can drink milk, Nick.
Yes.
Anyway.
I don't have my whiskey. I can't have a good show.
That's Lola. That's our Lola. Give us a call, 304-214-1600 if you're out of the area. 866-514-1600. Give us a call. Tell us where you're from, what you're doing, what you like. I like long walks on the beach. What?
Do you have those things? You know what I'm talking about.
No.
Did you bring them?
Yeah, she's got them.
Oh, good.
Why don't you just say?
I don't. He loves to be
so mysterious.
But his EVP, his sign language sucks.
I know.
He gave me an L.
Do you have your things? It's a car.
Oh, I thought he was talking about the size of something else.
Well, it would be.
We've got a
for you.
Call.
Yeah. It's like
who
this.
We got?
Daniel.
Daniel, how you doing?
Oh, real good. I just walked out of your place. Moundsville Penitentiary.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
You've been stuck in there all day?
No. Stopped in for their convention. Get ready for a convention. Haunted House convention.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. June the 4th.
Then it's at the Pen?
Yeah.
All right.
That's why he was there. Mm-hmm.
Had a lot of fun.
All right, so what is this? What are we talking about here? What convention?
Haunted House convention.
Wow.
All the haunted house people come in and look and see what you got.
Oh, this is Daniel from across the street.
Yeah.
Okay, now I know who it is. All right. They live across the street from the Pen, and they do a great haunted house. So.
Yeah, I've never been to
Daniel
the haunted
does?
House.
Daniel does? Or the Pen?
The Pen.
Yeah.
I was thinking Daniel does a great haunted house. Well, geez Louise, let's go.
He's competing with the Pen every year.
And I win, dang it.
Yeah, I've been working there for quite a few years. seen a lot of stuff.
Oh, what kinds of stuff do you see?
Shadows moving, and I've been punched, head scratched.
You've been punched?
Oh, yeah.
By like a tour guide, or?
Was Lola with you?
Yeah.
One of the dead.
Did Barb, has she gone through her pictures and stuff? His wife was with me and John and Kelly and John and Paul. Did she get any good stuff? Because I need to post mine somewhere, probably on Facebook or something or on the Whisper site, so she can get a look at the pictures I took. But did she get any good ones?
Yeah, through them yet. We got downloaded them to the computer.
Yeah. Well, I want to thank her again, because it was wonderful having her as a tour guide. She's been in there so often that she knew her way around, and I wasn't afraid of getting lost at all.
Well, Lola was attached to her hip.
Uh-huh. That's just about it.
She didn't even walk around with us.
I heard you had fun with the bat.
I don't want to talk about the bats.
Oh, well, Jordan got Kelly several times with the bats.
I kind of reached my hand up behind her head and just got the top of her hair.
She
freaked.
Mm-hmm.
I was leaving the new wall about 10 minutes ago. Mm-hmm. Sitting on the glass, nobody around. It got real cold.
See, and that's what I think. Now, how many people were in the building when that happened to you?
Today?
Yeah.
Probably about 25 people, but the rest of them was in the basement.
See, and I think we had too many people in too many places. Yeah, during the whole night, because Jordan and his group had an experience after everybody else had left. And people like Barb and Trish had experiences early on before everybody spread out. And I just think that maybe that it was just too much activity. And, you know, once people started leaving, then they became more bold, or if that's actually how they think. But, you know, it seems like the smaller group, I think you would have a better chance of really having some experiences.
During the regular haunted house, we'd have a full house, and you still have stuff going on.
Would you? Hmm.
Well, you kind of, you know where everybody is, though, right?
Yeah.
See, here, everybody was everywhere, because we had full rain, so...
Yeah.
I mean, it was a free-for-all. I think next year we're going to say, okay, you 10 go this way, you 10 go this way, and...
Yeah.
We'll meet up at a certain time, yeah.
Yeah.
And switch sides or something like that.
Have a schedule on who goes where.
Yeah.
That way you don't see something and think, well, I've just seen something. Here is somebody walking through your area.
Yeah.
Yeah. Our ghost looked like Jordan all night. He's just right there.
Yeah, that's my theory, too, is that, you know, the more people you have, the less inclined they are. Or it could just be that, you know, you're missing things because there's so much background noise that you're really not consciously paying attention to, but, you know, it's there and it's kind of blocking, you know.
Well, contaminate the area with other noise. So if you can do smaller groups, like, that'd be great.
That's one of the things we're trying to figure out, exactly what's the best way to do this, because, you know, this is our first time.
Yeah.
If we could, minimize distractions, as Lola mentioned earlier, and make it, you know, enjoyable for everybody, where they all have an equal chance of, you know,
having an experience.
Yeah, if we have 30 people, we split them up into four groups and put them in the four corners of the prison. You know, that might work out, because, I mean, part of this is kind of like fishing. You got to go out there and you got to be in your spot and ready for something to happen instead of wandering around
aimlessly, almost. That's kind of what it was.
A lot of groups,
yeah.
I mean, like, we went down into the hole. We sat there for like an hour. You know, we had bats buzzing past our heads.
Yeah, we just turned all of our lights off and sat there on the floor.
Oh, yeah.
Where Wall is? That's where you were?
Yeah.
HD Wall.
See, we didn't
RD
even
wall.
Go RD.
RD Wall. RD Wall. RD wall. Yeah.
I really wanted to go in there. Then we get down there with the group, and there's like 50 bats. And so there was absolutely no way that Kelly was going back in there, you know, so we didn't, and that seemed to be a spot where everybody was going, that and that red cell, you know, you never could get there by yourself, because that's one of the hot spots that everybody wanted to go to. And the same with the Sugar Shack, you know, we were kind of embarrassed when we went in, because, you know, Barb and her daughter and a couple other people are already set up. So we're, you know, you can hear on our recorders how we're trying to walk real quiet. And it was, you know, we hated to disturb people.
Yeah. Well, I got to go. And you guys have a good evening.
Hey, thanks for your call.
Thanks, Daniel, for having, you know, for calling and getting Barb involved with this, because I'm really glad she went.
She's been wanting to do that for a long time, and I'm glad you had an opening.
Well, we're going back next year, keep in contact. We'll get you in.
I will.
Thanks, Daniel.
See you, Daniel. Thank you for your call. And joining us in the studio today, bum.
Yeah, you guys, Barb, grab Andrew. A mic. Grab mics.
When you talk into the mic, you got to, like, eat the microphone or it echoes like crazy.
Hello.
It's Barb and her daughter, Trisha. Trish?
Hey.
Yeah.
All right, these two individuals joined us. And I just want to comment on how and why I love Barb. Because not only does she come into the studio, but she comes in here wearing an Elect Mothman for President t-shirt.
And her daughter is just so embarrassed, but like,
and
we are not stopping for groceries.
And was it Behind the Red Eyes Mothman book?
Good book. Very
for those on UPRN, to get Jordan's heart, you know, most guys are like through the stomach. Jordan's through Mothman.
Mm-hmm.
Jordan's got a soft spot for
Mothman.
Yeah,
he's one of my favorite
characters.
Characters or whatever.
This summer we're gonna have to drive down to Point. I've never been to Point Pleasant. Jordan just raves on and on about it.
Well, I was thinking we should do a road trip.
Whispers road trip.
Let's
for,
go.
Well, when they have the Mothman Festival.
I'm not sure when that. It was in September last
year. Yeah, it's
year,
the so first weekend in September, which on one hand is good, but on the other hand, I think that's Labor Day weekend.
No.
But you know, that because then there'd be so many people too that we've had on as guests that we'd have the opportunity to actually meet.
I think last year we missed seeing Frank Fischino, who we just had on. He was down at the Mothman Festival.
Mm-hmm.
Stan Friedman.
Jeff Walmsley.
Who would not have returned our calls probably at that
point. Honestly, though, anytime you go, because like taking her back to school at Marshall, I will just go too and go right through there.
Every time.
She's like, stop it, Mom.
You can talk to the people who are so nice down there.
Oh, yeah.
They'll just come up to you and start telling you their stories and stuff. So anytime you really want to go, it's a good time to go.
That's like when I went. Hold on a second.
Oh, I've got the dates. It's not Labor Day.
What is it?
Oh, it's not?
It's September 19th and 20th, 2009.
Oh.
That's the weekend after, I think.
2 weeks. It'd probably be 2 weeks after. I think September
4th. Is it first Monday? Is it the first Monday is Labor Day in September?
Yeah.
Okay, so that would be the 7th. So it's the weekend after Labor Day.
Oh, good.
So,
well, we could do that then.
Yeah, that'd be nice. Saturday and Sunday, 19th, 20th. So, go ahead, Jordan. I'm sorry. I was excited.
If we're going to do it, we need to make hotel reservations, because I'm sure everything anywhere around there is booked up.
We'll probably go stay at the, what are those things called?
There's a haunted hotel right there.
Oh, that's booked up like 4 years ahead of time.
Yeah.
There's only, it's really? Very, it's this very old building. And like, it used to be a restaurant. And
maybe we can fake our media status.
What's to fake?
Over exaggerate it, maybe.
We are media.
It's like, listen, we have Lola Miller on our show.
That's right. Do you know who I am? Do you know who I am?
She is WKK.
Everybody outside the area listening is thinking, what
these
a
people
bitch
are crazy.
She is.
But when I went, it was the lady that owns the little steakhouse, the Harrison Steakhouse, Harris Steakhouse, where the Men in Black would take people to interview. I went in there talking to her, and she came. She sat down. She talked with us for a while. It was me, my mom, my little brother. And she took us to a grand opening of an art gallery. It was like VIP only. She's like, come on, you can meet all my friends.
Oh, wow.
She took me in there. I got to go to this big secret. Everybody was dressed up. I had like my fire department shirt on.
I was down there one time, and they were filming that documentary that was on. You taped it for me, Trish. That
yeah, it was on A&E or something.
A&E or something. And I was going to the museum, and the guy was like, Jeff Walmsley, he was like, well, do you want to be in this? And there I am in my sweatpants and my awful shirt. But I said, no, I'll beg off on this one. I'm just surprised at how willing people are to just, I mean, they will tell you their stories without any hesitation. And you can see the honesty in their faces that they believe this is what they saw, and it's very interesting.
Yeah, that's my Mothman fetish.
It sounds like we're all agreed we should go down.
All right.
Yeah, I think so. I think it'd be great.
I'll get Jeff Wamsley on. We can find out who's going to be there and see if we can get special privileges.
Okay, the pen.
He's listening now. He's
back
like,
to the pen.
Yes.
Because we're drifting.
Yes, well.
And we
yes.
got some
we
fun things.
We do things in a circular route.
We yeah. get where yeah. we're going to go, but it's kind of yeah. like, you know, look at over here, shiny. Yeah.
1 hour inside
hey, look,
the
there's
mind.
A butterfly.
That's why we can hey, do look, 4 or 5 hours and get one topic in.
Almost.
We're getting all kinds of little small stuff.
Well, that's all right. We're entertaining. And if we're not, I don't care.
You're
I'm
stuck with us for You're stuck with
as
us for 2 hours
happy.
If you're not entertained.
Yes, back to the pen. All right. I did not have any personal experience. Perhaps I have to listen to one more audio tape that I took with Barb. And I've got to listen to that. But I've got orbs in almost all of my pictures. Big, glowing orbs. When you blow them up really big, it's like little faces in there.
Yeah, that's when they're creepy. When they, I don't know how I feel about orbs still, but when
I believe because I've got them.
When they're funny shaped, or they got little faces inside of them, it's like, what's that?
Yeah, because if it were a glare from a light, it would be perfectly round, mm-hmm. and even if you had something in the inside like a nucleus, it would be round.
That's like Lola's got a picture, and we'll put it up here soon. I think we're gonna make our trip to the pen section on our website and put up some pictures that everybody sends in.
Figure out how to put a file drop up there. Maybe it'll work.
Yeah.
Okay, we've got it. Paula's going to join us.
Hey, Paula.
Hey, Paula. Hey guys.
You skipped out on us.
We missed you.
I had a legit reason. I'm sorry. Yeah, I was heartbroken. But my daughter got to go, and I asked Lola to put me first on the list for the next adventure.
Yeah.
My daughter got to go. She took her digital camera, and she took pictures. She'd take a picture, and then a second or two later, she'd take a picture again. And she had several orbs, lots and lots of them. And, in fact, there's one area where she took a picture down the hallway to a doorway, and there was nothing there. But then the next picture she takes, there is definitely something there.
Is this the hallway? You need to ask Caitlin this, if it was the hallway to the North Hall. There's like a cafeteria door. It's this cafeteria over it or on it, and it's wooden. And then right next to it is another door.
Okay.
And that's where I thought I saw a figure, and so did Barb and Jordan.
I as well.
But when you take the picture, there's nothing there. But honestly, it looked like a figure of a man.
The second picture, there's something there. And you can, you know, zoom in, and maybe when we get it to you guys, for computer, you guys can even make it better. But yeah, there's lots and lots of orbs, and they saw shadows, and yeah, it was pretty. They enjoyed. They didn't get to stay very long because they were real tired.
Yeah.
And but they had a good time. And but the pictures, yeah, we need to get them to you guys.
Yeah.
Somehow.
Yes.
Yeah.
Email them right now. Whispers.
No, we don't. 1600. I'll have to bring them to you.
Yeah.
Well, bring them to me.
Okay.
Right now.
See the one at the doorway.
Yeah, bring the camera in, and we can download them here.
To me, it's almost like somebody's standing there in yellow.
Really?
Yeah. And she said, Mom, there was nobody there. We were at the one end of it, and the door was there, and she's got a picture for it. There's nothing there. And then right after, because I thought it was real smart, she took, you know, pictures one right after the other. And that way you don't have, like, something on your lens, and you think it's something, because there's nothing on the one picture, and then the next picture is there.
Yeah.
Is that the hallway where the shadow man is supposed
yeah.
to be?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
I know where you mean.
Yeah, Paula, bring
North
the camera
Hall.
In.
North Hall is what I need to ask her.
Yep.
Okay.
And wait, on a personal note, your daughter is beautiful, and she's such
love
a
you.
Lovely young lady. She
well,
really
thank
is.
You. I
it
hope
was
she
nice to meet
herself.
Her.
I hope she grows up to be as
you.
Great as you.
Oh, she's better. She's better. Thank goodness. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Paula.
Bye-bye.
Well, I know we have one picture on the forum that Matt
Beer
posted,
Hunter.
Beer Hunter on the chat room, if anybody's on there. Hello, Beer Hunter. Matt. That's the one with the face.
Yeah, he sent in a picture of one of the cells, and in the sink, it kind of looks like there's a face inside the sink. Kind of creepy.
I want to go ahead and post that to the front page, and that way we can start posting things.
When Hawkeye, and I wish he would call in and relate this story, but he called this morning to the broadcast, and he was telling us about, I don't know if it's his sister or sister-in-law, someone that kept having dreams about prisoners there. And she had them for years and years, and she started to really believe that it was the same three all the time in her dreams, that perhaps these three were guys that were not guilty of what they, and I think they had all been executed, but weren't guilty of what they had been accused of or convicted of, which is, that's a scary thought. And, you know, that would warrant some, I would be wanting to really get into the records and see what those cases were about. But, yeah. Boy, you hear some strange stories.
If you go up to the page now, I do have that one posted. So it's a pretty interesting picture.
All right, everybody,
go to
whispersradio.com and look at the picture inside the sink. You be the judge. Tell us what you think there.
I'm showing Barb now. Can you see that?
Oh my goodness!
Sorry. So, all right, Jordan. So we have some EVPs.
We did. We caught some EVP, and here's the thing. There was a lot of people out there with us, so it's kind of tough going through what's people and what's not.
And are we on Twitter too?
We're everywhere.
We're Twittering crazy.
Do people that Twitter, are they twits?
They tweet all the time.
People on Twitter tweet because they're twits.
No, that's because they're tweeterers.
I'm getting tired, you can tell.
Well, has been here all day, just excuse me.
We'll get to the EVPs when she's off the phone. We got, when people are in there, you know, we really had to go through who was where, what was going on at each time, and the three that we got, are the last two, our group was the only one left in the pen. It was towards the end of the trip, and everybody was gone except for us. And, the one before that, everybody was up in cells, and we were down in the hole, which is where the prison rat was ripped to shreds. Uh-oh, what's wrong, Lo?
Yeah.
Aye.
That's in the sink, yeah. That does.
Well, she just saw the picture.
And Kelly just called because both her and I have the hula hoop. Well, Eric tripped over the hula hoop, so the hula hoop was real. We were hoping that it was just something our cameras picked up and that wasn't really lying there. But
Mr. Eric Violet.
Yes.
Called
dashed our hopes.
Good job, Eric.
you crushed all as one.
I'm not being mean.
All right, if you want to call in with your pictures or stories from being there, it's 304-214-1600. 1-855-14-1600, and the latter is toll-free.
Now, I know Matt's actually listening because he's on the chat. He should call and tell us about this picture he has us here. We have a call?
Well, it's Paula. Here, Paula, go on.
Hi, Paula.
Wait a minute.
Oh, almost hi, Paula.
We haven't even heard from Paula.
There I am.
Hi, Paula.
Hey. I talked to my daughter, and she said the picture was not where the Shadow Man was. It was in the middle of a tour.
Okay.
And, she thought it was upstairs, and she thought it was, like, towards the insane asylum or something.
Okay.
Like.
Okay, and, yeah, there was the infirmary and the psych ward upstairs.
Okay, well, that's where she said it was in the old part, and she said it was in the middle of the lady, like, touring them. And I told her that she needed to send you all the pictures, the ones with the orbs and without, and she needed to know where to send them to. I didn't know what your email was.
It's Whispers,
W-H-I-S-P-E-R-S.
1600
okay.
at gmail.com.
GM. You're going to make me write this, aren't you?
Yes,
Gmail.
Gmail. Like mail.
Gmail. Gmail. I just wrote through in the bag. Okay.
.com.
Okay.
Whispers 1600.
All right. Thanks, Paula.
Thanks.
That's exciting. Bye. Because bye. That's where we got our most. Like,
and that's where we got two of our EVP.
Right. So that's right.
Is that what we're doing?
Is that loading up?
Yeah.
Now, which one do you want to go to?
I
want to
do
the chronological? Or?
Yeah, chronological. The one that says it's getting cold.
Well, you just have it. Bumps one, bumps two, and it's getting cold. That's the first one you want?
Yeah, let's do it's getting cold. All right, what you're going to hear, you're going to hear somebody, I believe it's Ryan, who's a firefighter with Tridelphia, say, it's getting colder. And then right after that, you hear something that kind of says control or something like that. It's kind of freaky. All
right.
Go ahead.
Or the temperature's dropping, whatever.
That was
it? Did you hear it? Right after he says it, there's something else.
All right, I'm going to do it again.
Did you hear it?
I heard it that time, yeah.
Didn't it sound like it has a southern accent?
Yeah,
I'm cold.
It sounds more like I'm cold instead of control, like you said.
All right, let's play it again.
Yeah, it sounds like I'm cold.
Now, we got that on two different recorders. Jordan, this is from Jordan's, and then I also got it. I was sitting behind Jordan in the hole. Couldn't hear it as well. Seems like it's a little further away. So, yeah. Pretty nice.
Next. Bumps one. This was in the psych hospital part, the psych ward.
Knock twice, if you're here.
That was too well.
That is awesome.
Now the cymbal noise.
Do you like us being here? Knock twice for yes and one for no.
That's all that one.
Okay. So that was a one? One knock at the
door? Yeah, they didn't like us being there, apparently.
Well, would you? I mean, there's a people traipsing through, you know, asking ridiculous questions.
And at this point, there was, I want to say, like six of us. We were all together, and you could hear. It's a big room if you've ever been up there. It's the upstairs. It's huge. And we were the only ones there. We were the only ones left in the entire pen. Everybody else had went home. It was like...
Yeah, the only other 5:15
in the morning.
I was downstairs talking to the lady tour guide and the younger guy that was with her. So that we were the only other three. We were downstairs
in the lobby.
Yeah, I was gonna say I don't even think that's anywhere close to that.
No, it's
you know kind of off from away from there. So
okay, now here's
the next one. This is in the infirmary.
Walk on out in there. Is there somebody here right now? Are you in the stairway? I think I just peed a little.
Your cheeks are getting
red. Can you knock again? Let us know what room you're in. If you want us to leave, knock once really loud. That's good enough. Yeah. See you later.
Now, for the record, at this point, you did leave, correct?
Yeah, we left. That plainly wanted us to go, and we weren't about to make it upset. So we headed out, and that's when we went down to the lobby. We said, hey, where's everybody at? And they said, everybody's home but you. You're the only ones that haven't checked out yet. So.
It is. I'll tell you that the time goes by so quickly, but there is so much walking, and you've got to be so very careful because none of the stairs are really good. Mm-hmm. So you're really tensed up, and it's kind of stress to walk on those things, not knowing if they're going to crumble under your feet. And, you know, and you really do log a lot of steps in there.
It's a nice exercise program.
Yeah, especially when one is running from bats. Because I just don't think I want to try bats. I know bats taste good, but I don't want to try them.
Now, you see, though, before all this, why I was the bats concerned me a lot, because they're everywhere.
Well, what cracked me up was you were right. You had your headlamp thing mm-hmm. in your hand. And here's people that are, oh, my God, bats. And they've got these things on their head. And the bats are swooping at the light.
You notice what I did this time. I had the thing in my pocket. Yeah. And I turned the light on a little bit. walk that way, turn the light on, walk that way. I wasn't turning the light on.
I did have at one point.
Did you even have the audio for that?
I have it somewhere.
We can't even play it because I think I said a bad word.
I want to point out that at one point we were down in the hole where Mr. Walls was cut up pretty bad. He was the prison rat, I guess, the trustee.
He was decapitated and sliced and diced. He wasn't just cut up pretty bad.
I didn't want to go in too much graphics.
But we
turned all of our lights off and we sat. There was a lot of bats down there. We turned all our lights off and just kind of sat where it happened, sat on the floor. And that's where we got the first EVP. And
The I'm cold?
Yeah. That's where we got that.
Oh, my God. That was R.D. Wall. That woman should have had her little thing down there.
They're programmed, pre-programmed voices.
Yeah.
And Nick has the headlamp while he's trying to read his EMF meter. So
yeah, I've got the EMF. I'm sitting down, because we're all sitting on the floor, and I'm sitting with both things out of my hand. And I've got my light, and I've turned the red light on. I'm thinking, hoping that the bats won't be attracted to it as much. And I'm the only one, though, with it on. And so I'm here. Jordan's like, maybe from here to the end of the table, maybe 2-3 feet from me.
Yeah.
That'd be about right. And I'm like this, and all of a sudden, all I see is this black figure just moved between. I mean, I felt the wind off the wing. It came close to hitting both Jordan and I.
It flies right at his head.
And all I say, I used.
Yes, I'm sure you used.
A colorful expletive. I mean, it was scary.
He was like, Shnikes!
Yeah. And it was very.
It's funny because Nick, who is terrified of bats and is the one who is the most cautious on not having his light on for too long, was the only person down in where there's like 50 bats, the only person that turns his light off and has it like right at his head.
I'm dedicated, though, to making sure, because while we were down there, going back to what, doing the investigating, it kept getting colder and colder while we were down there. It dropped from when we walked in, it was 58. It got down into like close to 50 at one point while we were sitting there, but I never had an EMF spike. So EMF stayed right at 0.01 or whatever my meter was saying.
Another story I wanted to tell, John Salvo that came with us too, he brought in some pictures and they all have their date stamped. So he has a picture from the beginning of the evening when we were still all outside and it had the correct date. Then he took a picture of us all down in the Sugar Shack, and Barb, you were down there, and Trish, and all of us, and the date is 1-1-2004. Yep. Then he took another picture up in the lobby at the end when we were all leaving, and the date was correct again.
Yeah, that was an interesting.
Yes, that's strange. And you guys haven't been able to recharge your battery on your camcorder yet.
But wait, the one picture that we do have, which I don't know if you've seen, picture of Jordan, is down in the Sugar Shack. I was sitting against the pillar trying to antagonize something.
Yeah.
And I it was just a weird feeling, and I told Trisha, take a picture. And then we would progress, and you would take one and wait a few seconds, take another, and then take another. And the one picture, there's this mist. And the next picture, you see it evaporating, and then it's clear again. And it was probably around the same time that he snapped that picture because we were all down there at the same time.
Yeah.
And that was in front of the one pillar that she had mentioned in the tour that frequently happens, mist in front of the pillar.
Right.
And you got a smell.
Yeah, everybody, like you had said earlier, you smelled like an electrical. Well,
Kelly and John did, like burning wire.
I just for a second or two, got this, like a. Almost like a body odor smell.
Really?
And I told Trisha, I said, come here, do you smell this?
Come here and smell my steak.
It wasn't me.
Come and smell this.
And Lola came over, but it was there and it was gone, but it was in the same general time that the picture was taken with the mist.
And where exactly was this again?
Down in the Sugar Shack.
Which would be, because the Sugar Shack, for those that aren't familiar with the prison,
what's the matter? You smell something?
Oh,
sorry.
Can someone take his computer? We're going
to
do
it. I know. He's like a little kid. Naughty chair. You have to go to the naughty chair.
On days where it was raining or really cold outside, people in general population would get to go outside if it was, a nice day. But and if not, they would send them to the Sugar Shack. Did she say that at one point there's like 300 people that'd be milling around? So B.O. would be something that would, be...
Plus there were no guards, so you could imagine that they...
Well, there's a reason to call it the Sugar Shack.
Right.
Well, let's take our... the bottom of the hour. Oops.
Whoa. Phantom sounds.
We'll do it quieter.
That's the ghosties. Yeah, we need to take our bottom of the hour break.
We'll be right back, everybody, with more Penn and an exciting announcement that Nick and I have. Bum, 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 bum. You're listening to WKKX and UPRN.
Pulling out at first dawn's light.
Welcome back to Whispers, everybody, on AM 1600, WKKX, the Valley's Watchdog, and the UFO Paranormal Radio Network. I'm Jordan Klein, here with Nick Queen, Lola Miller. I'm out of breath.
I wondered how many.
So we have a caller.
In a row.
All right, on the phone, we got Beer Hunter. Hey, Matt.
Hello.
The great photographer that posted, we have his picture posted on our front page right now.
One second, Jordan. Can you get your hand over the button?
Oh, geez. I better.
It says Beer Hunter.
The FCC might kill us.
Okay, we're glory hole on the air, can't you?
Hit the button. No, I think we're fine with that. We just don't want any descriptions.
I got to knock them off if you get buttons on them.
Okay.
Don't say anything.
Sorry. I just
censor your thoughts. So tell us about the picture.
No, I had to dump him because I had to dump him.
Oh.
That's the rule. Oh.
Okay.
Okay.
Fall back. Can he fall back?
No.
Whatever.
Oh. Okay. Sorry, Beer Hunter. Beer Hunter posted a picture. It's got a face in the sink.
It happened. Well, I feel bad. I don't even know if he said anything bad. Are you there?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. That was the warning.
Okay.
All right. So,
tell us about the picture.
Yeah. Tell us about the picture.
I believe this was the cell that the tour guide said that the lady was locked in, and she turned around and saw the tattooed gentleman there.
Uh huh.
And we stopped by it, and I took two pictures, and the face shows up in both pictures. It's two different angles.
So that was cell 9 on in the general population, correct?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. That was for the story, and I'm doing my best to remember. One of the times when they were doing the ghost hunt.
It was a haunted house.
Yeah, the haunted house, I'm sorry, the haunted house.
They lock them in.
Yeah, they lock everybody in, and sometimes they'll have people in the cells, you know, to kind of scare them, you know, kind of dressed up or whatever. But they put this woman in, and she turns around, and there's this guy, tattoos all over the place. And I think, from what I understand, she, like, passed out, and... They had to carry her outside. She's saying, there was a guy in there and he was tattooing. He scared me half to death. Well, they had never put anybody in that cell, you know, that night. So there was, you know, she was by herself in there. You know, of course, she saw something. So what we're seeing here is, and I'm trying to, like, you can make out the face pretty well, actually. I'm going to try to maybe go home tonight and see if I can
blow it up
a little bit. So,
yeah, you zoom in on it. It looks like it's got a biker style mustache.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I could see that,
like,
just from kind of the
chew kind of thing going on.
Yeah, because that would go along with somebody with tattoos.
Oh,
not that I'm stereotyping, but
so you're trying to say that bikers have tattoos?
Some of them.
Some of them
do.
Yeah. Oh, I'm just bothering you. So yeah, it's an awesome picture. I really like it.
We haven't got any comments yet. So if you're listening, go to the website and comment on it, whispersradio.com.
And we'll hopefully be adding more pictures as the night goes on. I haven't received any yet that I think. Oh, wait, I got some more. So cool. So I'll be posting those as I get them. If you have any more, Matt, be sure to send them our way.
Hey, thanks for your call, man.
Yeah, thanks. We'll
do it. Thanks.
Bye.
Bye.
Yeah, this is Leo.
Leo, how you doing?
Hey, Leo.
Hey, I'm glad you guys had a good time.
Well, thank you.
Prison.
It was fun. Fun for all.
I told Lola that, you know, we've been all over that place, and there's been places in there that, you know, it's just during the day and it's just entirely too creepy.
tell the one story.
Yeah, you Lola was that was this is the guy that you were telling about his was his sister? Was that this guy?
No, okay. That was Hawkeye.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
Okay. Well, we were down there for training and we were watching the Warden's house. And supposedly somebody's supposed to come, you know, plant a fake bomb at the house, and as our exercise, one of our guys, you know, got on the radio and said that he saw somebody, you know, dressed in white going across the field, you know, and we all start flipping out. Well, none of us seen it. Well, you know, he's insisting everybody start flipping because, you know, this guy, well, there was no footprints.
And it
really?
Was snow. So
and there,
oh.
There was the snowy out. And there was no footprints.
Well, that's creepy.
It is.
So, you know, I'm glad you guys went there and had a good time.
Do you... Sorry.
Why, Jordan?
I've almost got it. I've almost got rid of this thing. Where was this at exactly? Did this happen?
You know, where the Warden's house is outside?
Yeah.
Okay.
The field walking across, like, the driveway?
From the prison side towards the front of the house.
Oh, okay. Wow.
So, yeah, it would be the driveway.
That's creepy.
Yes, all it right. is.
We should have went out there and investigated, too.
Well, now you know. Next time you can.
Yep.
Wow. Thank you very much, Leo.
Hey, you guys have a good one.
You too. And it just goes to show that it's not just because, you know, we go on and on and say about the area, the way the area is kind of affected. But we think about inside the walls or on top of the mound that's out there, not the people that are still living around it, like the, you know, the house, the Warden's house.
Yeah. Yeah.
I know Barb said the Barb and Lola was speaking of earlier, they live right across from them. And I asked her, you know, if you see, she said they see lights and stuff all the time. Just, you know, sitting on their porch.
Yeah, they see movement in the windows of that one hallway.
Wow.
Yeah.
We're going to have to go just one night just to stay outside and see what happens.
We'd probably get picked up by the cops. What probably. Are you doing? what are you doing here?
That's when we have to have our press pass.
All right.
Look at this. You want to? I was gonna say we don't have much time left. You want to do the announcement?
Okay, we got an announcement. Last week we had Britt Griffith from TAPS, and we got in a conversation about the way that paranormal investigation groups need to come together and decide what with each instrument, with each, you know, technique, with each field. Terms, you know, just going down the list of all the things we need to do. So we kind of headlined the group, I guess, started it up. It's kind of a Wikipedia styled. It's
actually the code's actually exactly what Wikipedia has. It's called a Media Wiki. So that's what I've installed on the server. So I mean, it's very collaborative. I mean, if you're familiar with Wikipedia, anybody can go in and post an article, you know, other people can go in and like fix it up, add things to it, take away if they think something's wrong, and that's kind of what we have running right now. I'm still working on a little bit of the stuff in the background.
You can get to it on our site, and pretty soon, is it up yet?
I am checking right now.
Right before the show, we bought paranormalhandbook.com, and soon everything should be linked to it because the page is already built. It just takes the hour or so that it needs to filter through.
Well, right now, if you want to look at it now and if it's not working, it's whispersradio.com/handbook. So that if you go there, it'll come straight up to the front page. That's whispersradio.com/handbook.
And soon to be paranormalhandbook.com.
Yeah, so, and, you know, I've some of the stuff I have on there, investigation methods, you know, whether it's you're hunting ghosts, UFOs, Bigfoot, you know, there's going to be a category there for that. Paranormal terms, which someone last night came on and added orbs. So orbs is the first paranormal term that's up there. Also at the same time, on the flip side, we have groups of media, you know, so if you're like Eastern Paranormal came with us to the prison, you know, so they could go on and post an article about their group, you know, where they're at, how you can reach them. UFO investigation groups, same thing with Bigfoot, you know, cryptozoological groups, and then paranormal media, which would be kind of like us, or Beyond the Veil, or UFO Paranormal Radio, or anything out there, you know, come on in, put your page up.
It's a collaborative effort. It's going to take everybody in the community of paranormal-ish stuff to get together, post what you know, post what works, edit it. I mean, it's just like Wikipedia, but for the paranormal. So definitely get to it, and let's work to make this a good thing.
And that way, you know, groups, if they have a method they're working on or if they have something they want to get out there, they can find things easier, and vice versa, you know, if we're looking for some guests to talk about a certain thing.
Yeah, if it's been tried before, hopefully it'll be on there, and we can see how it's going.
Yeah, there we go.
All right, next week, what are we doing, Nick?
Well, next week, we're going to Williamsburg.
Boom, 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 boom.
So, yeah, that's not the show, just us.
All right, yeah, we'll be in Williamsburg. The show will be airing, but it won't be airing live. We're going to play some of our old shows for everybody who may have missed out. It'll be a combination of our Halloween episode,
which was
all call-ins, ghost stories from our local area, the Weird New Jersey, Weird U.S. guys.
Yeah, so we'll have that playing next week while we're, I don't know, maybe Tuesday, so I have no idea where we'll even be. Probably at the beach.
Williamsburg, awesome.
Yeah. Anything you would recommend us going to?
She loves it. It's
just
the whole
atmosphere.
There's nothing
like
between
it.
Besides Gettysburg.
So let me ask you this, because Jordan's already making fun of going to Williamsburg because it's not. He said it's not a cool reenactment. He said Renaissance Fair would be a cool reenactment. And I'm he's like, they don't eat like large pieces of meat there.
they drink tea and have powdered wigs.
And crumpets.
Now, other than Gettysburg, Williamsburg, you're
going to
love it.
Okay. I'll take your word for it, Barb.
So, what do you think, Trish?
I mean, I loved it. The only place I can think of that was better on your guys' line is Gettysburg. I really enjoyed
it. So, where you go, like, into the colonial part?
Yeah. I mean, and you can do all kinds of ghost tours where you can find out the stories behind all the buildings, where the hot spots are.
Nighttime tours,
and
I mean,
there's just a lot available.
All right, you talk me into it.
Submission.
Okay, Lola, you coming with us?
Oh, I'd love to. I would love to.
Then you can hop over to Busch Gardens.
Yeah,
that costs money, Barb. Yeah.
We have no money, so we're doing whatever we can do.
We're doing
free.
The poor man's trip.
We have to hitchhike with, you know, we're going to Williamsburg.
Williamsburg or bust.
So
no.
Hopefully, okay. We'll be able to get some money to get back.
Oh, say goodnight, folks.
All right, everybody.
Night,
until next week, or until 2 weeks from now. Mm-hmm. Whichever. Don't be afraid. Only believe.